my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, so I'm excited again about this lesson today. Pastor has been doing an amazing series entitled Disciplined Faith. So I want to continue on in the series that he's already started. And he taught us that we have to be disciplined in our faith if we're going to see the things that we're believing for to come into manifestation. Amen. And that last week he also gave us this push last week. You guys were here on last week or you just watched online, that it's just a matter of time, right? So we got to stay in faith and not waver and not get discouraged if it may seem like it hasn't been done yet, right? But we're going to continue on and just remember that I know that if God promised something for me, if I could just hold on to his word and not waver and not give up, don't stop short, don't stop on six, right? Y'all remember that from Bible study? Don't stop on six, but if I just continue on, I'm going to see the manifestation of my faith. So I want to continue on in a series that Pastor started, as I said, and today I'm going to give you, if we have to give you a title for today's lesson, it's entitled Faith, the Faith That Prevails, the Faith That Prevails. And so the word prevails means to prove to be more powerful than any opposing force. To prove to be more powerful than any opposing force or to be victorious. So we're going to read an account in scripture in 2 Kings. One of the things I love to do is I love to find accounts in scripture where people that I know that they have already been through this thing. So if they've been successful, it gives me hope that I too can be successful. If they've been victorious, then I too can be victorious. So it always encourages my faith when I find an account in scripture. So we're going to look at this story in 2 Kings 4 of Elijah and the Shunammite woman. You guys heard that story before? All right, well, I don't want to take or assume that everyone else has heard this story, so I'm going to give you the background, then we're going to come up to speed, all right? So here in Elijah, in 2 Kings 4, Elisha would often travel through the city of Shunem, okay? And so whenever he would travel through, he would often stop at this, they say a notable woman, a rich woman's house, and she would always provide food for him. So after, you know, time and time, he would come through and she would often feed him. She goes to her husband and she says, let us just make a room for him so that way when he comes to the city, he can have somewhere to stay. So they decide, so of course the husband's in agreement with it, because who doesn't want to be a blessing to the man of God, right? So they come into agreement and they build this room for him to come. So whenever he comes to Shunem, he'll have somewhere to stay. And so he was so, you know, filled with gratitude for what they had done for him. He said, you know, what can I do for you? Can I go and talk to the king on your behalf? She said, oh no, I'm good. I dwell among my people. I don't need anything. I have everything that I need. And so he talks to his servant. He says, surely there's something we can give this woman for all that she's done for us. And so he says, well, I see she doesn't have a child. So Elisha says, well, tell her to come here. Let me talk to her. And so she comes in the door and he tells her, you know, this time next year, you're going to have a son. So here she is out of the blue, like, okay, don't lie to me, man of God, okay? But you tell him, because you know, the servant has said, you know, her husband is of well age. But she says, don't lie to me. So he says, no, this time next year, you're going to have a son. So let's pick it up here in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 18. We're going to read verses 18 through 23. And verse 18 says, and the child grew. And now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to a servant, carry him to his mama. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and she went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. So we're talking about the faith that prevails. Are you guys taking notes this morning? It's going to be a good one, I'm telling you, all right? So faith that prevails. There's four components of faith that I want to share with you that I saw in this story on today. First one is faith is something. Faith believes something. Faith says something. And faith does something. So let's say it again. Let's say it together. Faith is something. Faith believes something. Faith says something. And faith does something. That's right. Faith is something. It is not magic. okay? Faith is not magic, right? But it is a systematic process that brings the will of God into manifestation into my life. And Pastor has so eloquently and simplistically taught us that faith is simply what? Acting on what I believe. So when I'm in faith, I am acting on what I believe. But the question is, what are you believing? All right? So again, it believes something, right? And this is very important. What do you believe? Because what you believe is what you're going to act upon. But we must believe God's word, and it has to be the final authority in our lives. And when you believe positively, guess what? You're going to speak positive. So the thing is, when you believe whatever it is that you believe, that's what you're going to act upon. So if you believe that if you're going to eat this food, you're going to be full, guess what? You're going to eat that food because you believe you're going to be full. Well, if you believe you go outside and, oh my goodness, it's cold outside, I'm not dressed accordingly, I'm going to get sick. Well, if you believe that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get sick because you believe that if I go outside in the cold, I'm going to get sick because you're acting on what you believe, right? But the thing is, so again, faith is something, faith believes something, faith says something. So just like believing is very important, what we say is also very important. We have to speak in agreement with God's word regardless of situations, circumstances, or conditions. It doesn't matter what I see with my natural eyes, I must continue to say only what the word of God says because the word of God is what changes things, amen? So we will have what we say. So faith is something, faith believes something, faith says something, and faith does something. Faith without works is dead, right? So doing something is being in faith. But if I'm not doing anything, that means I'm not in faith. Because faith without works is doing something. Faith without works is dead, right? We have to be in action. Faith requires action, right? So if you act, that means you're believing that you're believing what you said you're going to do. Right? Because you're moving forward. If I believe that God is going to sustain me, if I make a life-altering decision, guess what? I'm going to move forward because I believe that God is going to take care of me. Right? Because I'm going to step out in faith. Right? So faith requires action. And if you really want to know what you really believe, check your actions. If you really believe that God is going to sustain you and you don't move, that means you really don't believe because you didn't move. Of course, you want to move in God's timing, but at the same time, if he tells you, if you have the green light, you have the peace about it, if you're not acting, that means you're still maybe wondering, unsure. But when you're in faith, you're not wondering, you're not unsure, because I know that God told me this is what I'm supposed to do, amen? So if you really want to know what you believe, take your actions. When you are in faith, you are preparing for your desired outcome. When you are in faith, you are already getting ready for your desired outcome. If you are believing for a child, guess what? You're going to do what it takes to have a child, number one. And then you're going to start making ready for that room, right? You're not going to just wait till the ninth month and the 40th day to go try and get a crib. No, I believe that when I got pregnant, this child is going to come. I'm going to carry this child full term, and I'm going to have this baby. So I'm going to make ready because I believe that it's going to happen for me. If I'm believing for a new home, I'm going to go get me a box. I'm going to start getting rid of some junk because all this junk is going to the new house with me because I'm getting ready for what God has already prepared for me, amen, because I'm in expectation. When I am in faith, I am getting ready for what I'm believing for. If you're in faith for a new career change, you start getting you a new wardrobe. This job requires you to wear slacks and not jeans. I'm getting me a pair of slacks because I'm in faith that I won't always have to go to work getting dirty, right, because I'm going to start doing something in preparation for what I believe. So again, let's talk about this scripture. So could you imagine her initial emotions that this woman was feeling as the very thing that God had spoken to her life? It came to pass, and just like that, it was gone. You know, her child literally died in her lap. But because of her faith, she believed that her only child, this child that God gave her, that God not only promised but gave her, guess what? She believed that he could be raised from the dead. So when situations like this or when situations come or arise, you can't be in fear. So she didn't have a moment to start getting scared. What am I going to do? My child is dead. No, she had to respond at that very moment. No, I believe that if God gave this to me, I'm not going to sit here and let it die. I'm going to do something about it and bring life to it. Amen. So in verse 23, it says that her husband, he asked her, why are you going to see the man of God tonight? But guess what? She wasn't in a panic. I believe she had a sense of urgency, but again, the thing is, she said, it is well. She did not allow herself to say anything that was contrary to what she desired to have in her life, amen? So what an example of faith that was. She didn't just say, okay, he's dead. Let me start getting ready for her funeral. Oh, he was a lovely child. He died so young. She didn't start speaking about him in the past tense. No, she said, it is well. So she didn't start preparing for something she did not want to experience, but it is well. What an example of faith that she was. So two principles I want to pull out of this real quick. In verse 23, her response was not a reaction. But she didn't just react and frantic and panic and what am I going to do, what am I going to do? Oh, God, help me, help me, help me. No, it is well. So two things I want to show you. Get in faith and out of your feelings. When issues come up, you have to always get in faith, not in your feelings, because your feelings will have you going somewhere, any, everywhere, like you don't have any clue where you are, what tomorrow is, what today is, right? But no, we have got to get in faith and not in our feelings, because our feelings, especially in a time where you know things may not be the way you want them to be, you can start making irrational decisions. You can start making start speaking words that are not life-giving. Again, you can start just doing things that are not going to be what you want to experience. So you got to make sure that you are in faith. Slow down, pray, help me God, you know, give me the wisdom I need, but don't just start moving so quickly, because again, when you are reacting, you are not thinking, you're not allowing Holy Spirit to talk to you, but you want to give him the space to give you the wisdom you need on how to move forward, amen? So, and then the thing is, there is really very little productivity produced when you're in your feelings. There is nothing really good that is going to be produced when you're in your feelings. Think about it, you know, when you're in your feelings, you're not going to really just do what's probably best for you. You're going to do what feels good at this very moment. But no, what is the end result of me making this decision right now? So remember, we walk by faith, not our feelings, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? So again, we want to make sure that we're often always doing what God told us to do, and we're walking by faith, not our senses or how I feel. Because our senses can, again, have us doing something that we have not thought out all the way through. So again, we're going to get in faith and out of our feelings. Number two, learn to speak the desire and not the details. Speak the desire and not the details. What desire are you hoping for in this situation? Speak the desire, not the details. What did she say? It is well. She didn't even tell her husband what was going on. When we read the scripture, she just shut the door and said, get me a servant and a donkey. I mean, think about it. When you read the scripture, she did not even go into details with him. Because she said, no, I don't want to say anything contrary to what I desire to see in my life. So right now, all I'm saying is it is well. So in your life, it may not be how you want it to be, but guess what? It is well. I'm not giving you no details, because when we start going into the details, we can sometimes start analyzing things, start looking at things too far. And next thing you know, you're all out of faith, because now your knowledge has taken you out of faith. But no, just speak your desire. What is the end result you want? That's all you speak, is your desire, not the details. Amen? So she summoned a servant to go and see the man of God, the man of God, Elijah, who spoke this into her life. She said, I want to go see this man. Remember, I was good. So she said, a text message ain't going to do. An email ain't going to do. A FaceTime ain't going to do. I got to go see him face to face, because you know what? I know if I can get into the presence of him, I know he's going to give me the wisdom I need. So she got her donkey. She got her servant to drive her expeditiously to the man of God, right? But she put some action behind her faith. She did something. She kept her mouth in check, and she did something, all right? So here's the thing. But what do you do when that very thing that was your happy place is now your hard place? What do you do when that thing that always brought you pleasure is now you're in a place of pain? You know, so what do you do? What did she do? She kept herself together, and she kept herself in faith, because she was a radical woman of faith. And you know, it's Women's History Month. Are there any radical women in the house on this morning that says, you know what? I'm trusting God at all times, right? You know, I'm not even worried about that, because God, you're able, right? So she kept her faith. So even though she was in a place where, you know what? I don't know how I got here, but guess what? God, you're able. I'm not stressing it. I'm not worried about it, because my faith, her faith was not rocked. Her faith was not shaken, because she knew that the same God that promised this to her, the same God that delivered this thing to her, is the same God that can bring this thing back into her life. Amen. Because she knew that, because she had a past history of what God can do in her life. And just like her, you as and I both have a past history of God's goodness in our lives. We don't need a long time to just think about how good God's been. Just this morning, guess what? He woke us up. God's been good. He kept us all night long. You know, the song came to my mind just now. Millions didn't make it, but I was one of the ones who did. That's the reason to give God praise. So she was in faith. She believed God. And when you really have faith and situations are trying to come in and try and defy your faith does not grow weaker, but your faith grows stronger. when those things try to come in and take you and make your faith just try to come and come against your faith, it should not get weaker. Your faith should grow stronger. You know, when you're convinced of something, you don't back down from it. You know, I was thinking about that this morning as I was studying on my lesson. You know, I know my mind's kind of crazy sometimes, but anyways, so I was thinking and I was like, you know, if somebody came to tell me that they saw me in a Motel 6 with another man, I ain't gonna back down. Initially, I'm like, girl, you better go sit down somewhere. That's just my nature. I ain't even going to entertain that. You ain't seen me in no Motel 6 with no other man. But if they keep trying to, if they continue to try and be adamant that they saw me in the Motel 6 with another man, I'm probably going to be like, okay, I already told you one time. You ain't seen me in no Motel 6 with no other man. You ain't. I know. You have not seen me. But if they continue to just prick at me and keep telling me that they saw me at a Motel 6 with another man, I'm going to get stronger about my conviction. I was not at no Motel 6 with another man. Some of you guys, your initial response or your initial reaction probably would have been to hit somebody, right? Initially. But I'm praying for your salvation, right? So, but again, but when you come against something that you know that you feel so strongly about, that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you did not do, you rise up. Something you begin to be like, no, I ain't backing down from this. So just like how when you don't back down for somebody trying to lie on you, when the enemy tries to come in and steal your family, you don't back down. You rise up and say, no, devil, you cannot steal my family. You cannot steal my child. You cannot steal my joy. You cannot steal my job. So you got to start rising up when the enemy tries to come against you. So don't let things come and try to just make you back down and just get into this little corner. But no, we are going to have the faith that prevails. I'm going to rise up and do what God told me to do, and I'm going to believe God at all times. I'm going to have faith, and I'm not going to waver in my faith because I am convinced that the same God that promised this thing to me, the same God that brought this thing to me, the same God that's going to keep this thing for me. Amen? So let's finish this scripture up. 2 Kings, let's go to verse 32 and verse through 34. So she goes to the man of God, and she talks to him, and she tells him how she felt. Man of God, all right? So the man of God comes back to the house with her, verse 32. And when Elijah came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. So remember, we're talking about the faith that prevails here, right? So in order to prevail, we must come into alignment with God, our Father. So it says that he put his mouth to mouth. So how do we all become into existence? God breathed into us, right? So the same God that breathed into us, so when your mouth is out of alignment, death can come. So we've got to keep our mouth in alignment with God's word and what God says. Amen. So when what comes out of our mouth has the power to inspire, the power to encouragement, to bring encouragement, the power to bring life. So keep our mouths in alignment with God's word. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what I say is either going to bring life or bring death. Keep my mouth in alignment with God's word. Amen. So when our mouths come into alignment, we speak life instead of death. When our mouths come into alignment, we praise instead of complain. Let me show you this scripture here, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. It says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But here, the sacrifice of praise is the Greek word of homologio, which means saying the same thing with your mouth that God said in his word. So that is divine alignment. So when I sing sacrifice of praise, I am saying the same thing with my mouth that God said in his word. So we've got to be able to speak in line with God's word. I'm going to make the decision that everything that comes out of my mouth, it is going to be pleasing to God, because it's going to, again, whatever we say, it creates, right? Our words have the power to create. So whatever God's word says is what I'm going to say and not the circumstance. Whatever God's word says is what I'm going to say and not the doctor's report. Whatever God's word said is what I'm going to say and not the statistics. So I'm going to keep my mouth in alignment with God's word. So again, mouth to mouth. The second one was eyes to eyes. Our words create images. Our words give us vision. and we paint pictures with our words. So our vision must also be in alignment with God. And when God made a promise to Abraham, you guys remember how he had him go and look at the stars, right? And that gave him a visual of how big of the blessing that he was going to be to the earth. So I encourage you today to set positive images before you of where you want to go. So just like you have your desire of what you want in the end, you got to make sure you're constantly seeing what you want to experience in your life. And vision is what you see by faith from God. We have to make sure that we keep our vision clear, excuse me, and that we have those clear pictures of where we want to go. If you're having issues in your marriage, you want to make sure that you're seeing yourself surrounded by people who are successful in their marriages. If you're having issues or you want to start a business, you want to keep people who have been successful in business before you. You know, let that be your model, because if they can do it, I can do it too, right? If you're, you know, dealing with a health challenge, get some pictures of yourself when you were healthy before you. Start seeing yourself of how you used to look when you were healthy, when you were, you know, when you didn't have this issue going on in your body. So you want to make sure that you have a clear vision, because that's going to take you or help you accelerate to where you're trying to go, right? If you can see where you're trying to go, you're going to move forward to it, right? So clear vision is very, very important. So again, we have mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, and then we have hands to hands. How many would agree that we are stronger together? If you want to go fast, you go by yourself, right? But if you want to go far, you take somebody else who speaks life like you do with you, all right? You take somebody with you who believes like you believe, who speaks like you believe, who will want to do something like you want to do, and you guys go together. So that's a principle that we have, that, you know what, I can do better when I have somebody with me. When I have somebody that's going to keep me accountable to what I know God has told me to do, I can go further together, right? So just like, you know, scripture tells us that we are different members, well, we all have different functions, right? But we're all one body. You know, our eyes have a different function than our ears. We can't see through our ears. You know, we kind of say, I got eyes in the back of my head. That ain't true. We don't have eyes in the back of our head. You know, when we have our kids, I can see everything you do. We really can only see with our eyes, but, you know, that's something we put in our kids so that way they don't think they can do whatever they want to do, right? But, you know, our eyes have a different function than our ears. Our hands have a different function than our feet. But, again, they all serve as the body so that we can all move together and get to where we're trying to get, amen? So although we have a different function, we all function under the same vision. So when we are aligned, it blesses others. When we are in alignment with God, it blesses others. Let's finish this out at verse 35. Courtney, I'm already about done. All right, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 35, last scripture I'm going to go. And it says, so he returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. And then the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. So it said he returned and walked back and forth in the house. So I want to present to you the principle of pace and pray. The principle of pace and pray. It says he walked back and forth in the house. He walked back and forth in the house. And again, went up and stretched himself on the child. So the principle of pace and pray. You just got to learn how to just start keeping it moving and praying. Keep it moving and praying. Because, you know, if you think about it, if you're pacing, you ain't going to go to sleep. But if you go try to lay down and pray, the devil will put you to sleep real quick, right? But some of y'all need to start getting up and just start walking and praying over your situation. Because if you're moving, he can't stop you. He can't sleep. You're not going to sleep and pray while you're walking. But you're going to keep your mouth in check. Because guess what? Every step I take is taking me closer to my destiny because I'm staying in faith with it. Because if I pace and pray, if I keep going, putting one foot in front of the other, I'm going to see myself already to the place of victory where I want to be. So don't stop. Don't get discouraged. Don't just go sit down on the dock of the bay. No, keep yourself moving, because God says, I'm with you with every step that you take. But just have faith that every step you take is a step of faith. Amen. And when you pace, it says it's a consistent and a continuous speed. All right. It's to do something at a slow and steady rate or speed in order to avoid overexerting yourself. So you're not going to get tired, because guess why? Because every step I take is getting strengthened, because God is strengthening me with every step I take. So you just keep walking in faith, knowing that it doesn't matter how long it's going to take. As long as I keep moving, as long as I keep going forward, God's helping me along the way. So keep putting your one foot in front of the other. Keep going even when it seems tough. Keep your mind aligned with God. Keep your ears aligned with God. Keep your eyes aligned with God. Keep your hands aligned with God. And again, when we are in alignment with God, it blesses others. So here we see the child, he was brought back to life. Because why? Elijah came in and he worked the process of faith. This mama, she didn't give up. That was the first step. She didn't give up. She didn't quit. She didn't let this child that that God had gave her, that died in her lap, she didn't let that be the end. No, God, you've been too good to me to let this be the end. I don't want that in my life. So what she did, she spoke her desire. So whatever you don't want, don't let that be, don't let that come out of your mouth. Only speak what you want to experience in your life. If you don't want to be sick, guess what? Don't speak sickness over your life. If you don't want lack and poverty in your life, don't speak, I ain't gonna never have enough. I'm always gonna have to wait for somebody else to do something for me. No, because you said that. But again, we have the power to change our world with the words of our mouth. And God has already given us all the tools we need. And sometimes it's just a matter of us just kind of getting that refresher, because you get so easy with just, oh, well, you know, we've been dealing with COVID for 2 years now. It's just going to always be here. But that's not my confession of faith. You have what you say, you know, so whatever it is that you're expecting is what you have to say. If you're expecting a life filled with joy and peace and prosperity, that's what you have to declare. If you're expecting a life where your business is always going to have people looking for you, that's what you're going to have to declare. So again, you have the power to declare where you want to be. And remembering God's promises and the prayers that he's answered in the past is a huge remedy to difficult moments that you may be facing today. When you think about all that he's brought you through, that gives you the encouragement and just to keep on going. If he, like I said earlier, if he did it before, guess what? He will do it again. Because why? He is the same God right now that he was back then. All right, let us pray on this morning. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for every person that was able to hear it today. We thank you that faith has already been increased. It has just been elevated in our lives on today. Thank you for just the strength we need to continue on and do what you've called us to do. We won't be those who back up in faith, but no, we will continue to walk forward toward our designated end on today. Thank you that we'll only speak what we desire on today. That we will stay in faith and not in our feelings, but we will do what you've called us to do on today. We thank you for those who have watched us online on today. We thank you, Father God, that they have also received this word on today. And we're just covering those in prayer today who may have never received you as their Lord and Savior today. They're in need of salvation. So, Father, we pray for those on today that the harvest is ripe on today, Father. We thank you that they shall receive you as their Lord, their Savior, and their King. That their best life, it really is ahead of them. And so I thank you for those who are going to make the appeals on today for salvation. I thank you even for those who are going to answer the appeal for rededication, where they may have made some mistakes along the way. But the wonderful thing about you is that you don't cast them away, but you just put them right back in line toward their destiny on today. And maybe there are those who are watching today or who are even in the building who don't have a church that they belong to. I just want to let them know that Without Limits Christian Center is a great place where you live, where you abide, and where they can get all of their spiritual needs met on today. So if you're in the room or if you're watching online and you want to answer the appeal for salvation, rededication, or for church membership, all you have to do if you're in the room is just get one of our connection cards and just fill it out and just put it in the offering bucket located that one of our ushers are holding at the door. Or if you're watching online and you want to answer the appeals of salvation, rededication, or church membership, there's a link in the caption above. So if you're watching or you want to answer the appeals, and if you're in line, we're going to say this simple prayer together. For everyone, repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, O holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. So Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. Because Jesus is my Lord, he's my Savior, and I'll always serve him. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise all over the building.